Dear friends in Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. The first verse from our reading this morning, Romans 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still weak. We still are, you know. Weak, I mean. It's true, as Paul said in our text, we've been reconciled to God by the one man, Jesus Christ. We've been justified by his blood. We've been saved by his life. And therefore, we are no longer enemies with God. We are no longer destined for destruction. But we are still weak. I've been reminded of that frequently, almost daily, for the last month and a half. Because a month and a half ago, our family got chickens. You know, chickens. It's kind of a big deal around the Nafsker house. Besides a few fish over the years, we've never really been a pet family. We've had no cats and no dogs and no gerbils and no chinchillas. But this Christmas, the opportunity arose for my wife and me to get chickens for our children for Christmas. And so that's what we did. And just about a month and a half ago, these chickens arrived. And they came as little cotton balls with feet, just a day or two old. And for the first month, I guess I've got to tell you, we love these chickens. They've almost become part of the family. We've even, against the recommendation of others who own chickens, we've even named them. There's Marilla and Millie and Leia and Crusade and Dottie. And then since there's six in our family, we've got six. Our youngest daughter, she named hers Pecky Thatcher. We had just finished reading Tom Sawyer. Pecky Thatcher. So this first 4 weeks of these chickens' lives, we kept them in the basement, nice and safe, underneath the heat lamp and a big tub, and the chicks were safe and sound and secure. And as they grew, we realized at some point we need to transition to their external home, to the chicken coop, where they'll be permanently residing. And so after about a month in our basement, we had about a week of transition, where every morning we would go down and we would each carry up our chick to the chicken coop, and then each evening we'd go out and get the chicken and bring it back down and put it in its home in the basement. And as I carried my chick, Millie is mine, as I carried Millie each morning and each evening to and from our house, she'd grown a little bit, now she was about this big. As I carried her, she quivered the whole way. She's so fragile. I couldn't believe how light she was, how weak she was. But now the chicks have successfully transitioned to the coop, and now they're outside permanently, which is good because they started to smell a little bit in the basement. But now I've got a different concern because I know outside there are predators. Possums and raccoons and rats. Just Saturday morning, I was out on the patio having a cup of coffee. My brother-in-law was in town, and we were sitting on the patio talking, having our coffee, and all of a sudden there was a huge commotion in the branch right above our patio. I could have hit this commotion with my rake if I had it in my hand. There were blue jays and sparrows, a bunch of little birds flying around in a big commotion, and we looked up. We thought, what on earth is going on up there? And we looked, and there was a hawk. That big. This hawk didn't seem bothered by the blue jays, certainly didn't seem bothered by us sitting there on the patio. And my first thought was, the chicks. Are they okay? And so I looked up to the chicken coop and I saw that it was closed, but I didn't see any chicks running around. And so I thought, I gotta go check on the chicks. So I was in my bare feet and I ran up to our chicken coop and I looked in there and I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Phew, they're all there. They're all safe. Now, I'm a little on edge because we've got some friends who also have chickens. Apparently, a lot of people do this. I've kind of been surprised. But we've got some friends in South City who have some chickens, and they were telling us that a couple weeks ago, a possum got several of their chicks, ripped them apart. And so I'm a little concerned because the problem is I don't want our kids, and truth be told, I don't want myself to have to go through that kind of trauma. You know, they're growing, these chicks, we call them the girls, they're growing, but they're still so weak. They're still so fragile. While we were still weak, Paul says in our text, that was our condition before Christ lived and died and rose again. That was our helplessness, our perfect vulnerability. We were dead in our sin, Paul says. Before Christ died, we had no ability to save ourselves. But the truth that I want to reflect with you on this morning is that even after Christ died, even after Christ rose, even after Christ has declared us righteous, even after we've been reconciled to God through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, even now we are still so weak. Our bodies are weak. A 39-year-old mother, a member of our congregation up in Minnesota, 39-year-old mother in good health, four young children. She works through the night, and the next morning as she comes home, she goes to get in bed and to sleep, and she tries to pull the covers over herself, and her left arm doesn't work, and she tries to grab the covers and it doesn't work, and she says something to herself out loud, and it's all garbled. And she's a nurse, and she realizes, I'm having a stroke. A healthy 39-year-old woman. A 68-year-old professor in the middle of the night gets woken up because his chest hurts. He's got some chest pains, and it's enough to rouse his wife. And if it weren't for a helicopter getting him to the appropriate hospital, the 95% blocked artery very well may have been the big one for him. A 27-year-old pastor, a seminarian, when I was here as a seminarian back in the day, finds out on vicarage that he has a tumor in his brain. And exactly 1 year and 11 days after his ordination, he's dead. We're so weak. We're so vulnerable. And it's not just our bodies. It's not just the disease and the decay. If that were it, it's this sinful flesh. It's this corrupt world. It's this evil foe who stalks us like a hawk perched on a branch. The temptations are everywhere. They come out of our own hearts. They bubble up in our conversations. They appear on our Facebook feed. They reflect the opinions we have of ourselves and others. We're so weak. We're so vulnerable. You know, each day when I come home from class, I check on the girls. I stop by the coop before I go to our house, and I want to make sure the coop is secure and the fence doesn't have any gaps in it. I usually try to sneak around the corner because I don't want them to see me. I kind of want to see what they're doing when I'm not there. and so I peek around the corner, I try to look in there, and, you know, I count. You know, there's all six of them. And then one of them always looks up at me. Um, I don't know if they know how vulnerable they are. They're clucking and pecking away, and they seem kind of oblivious. But I tell you what, each time I look at those chicks, I'm reminded of how vulnerable I am, how weak I am. I'm reminded of the reality that we live in a dangerous world. Now, Paul understood all of this, this reality that we live in a dangerous world that stands behind the first four chapters in his letter to the Romans. We've all fallen short. We all fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, Paul says, you and me and Abraham and everyone else. It's only because of the one who was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. It's only because of him that we have any hope whatsoever. And this gift that he gives us, peace with God, access into grace, it's all this thing that we have only by faith. That's Romans 1 through 4, basically. In Romans 5, we read that this morning, and we were reminded of how weak we were and how Christ has died for us. But we're also reminded as we keep reading in Romans that we still are weak. That's chapter 6, right? Paul says, remember your baptism. Why do you need to remember your baptism? Romans 6? Well, because the temptations continue to come. Should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. Paul says, you're baptized, so cut it out. Easier said than done. That's Romans 7. The good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. I'm such a pitiful, such a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, Jesus. Jesus did, and Jesus does, and Jesus will. Jesus sends us his Spirit because we're still weak. Now we're going to Romans 8. In our weakness, the Spirit cries out for us, groans on our behalf. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus, who has made us more than conquerors despite our weakness, has made us more than conquerors so that we are sure neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor any predator that lurks anywhere will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are weak in ourselves, but in him, in Jesus, we are strong. Now, I tell you about our chickens, and I give you this really brief bird's eye view of Romans 1 through 8. Sorry. For three reasons. First of all, I want us to appreciate how weak and vulnerable we really are. We need to do this regularly, I think, because in our culture, both in our country and on this campus, our culture rewards and honors strength and individual performance. And as a result, we're conditioned to hide our weaknesses, first from ourselves, certainly from others, and even from God. So first of all, this morning, I want to help you appreciate and take seriously how incredibly weak and vulnerable we really are. Second, with Paul, I want to encourage you, and frankly encourage myself again, to cling to Jesus in our weakness, to cling to his promises, his promise to forgive us and to save us, his promise to justify us by his blood and to sanctify us by his Spirit, his promises that were made to each of us individually in baptism, his promises that are made anew to us each time we hear his word of grace and truth. Predators still stalk. And for that reason, we cling to Jesus every single day. Which leads to my third thought. Recognize our weakness, cling to Jesus. And finally, I want you to live confidently, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to live strong in the Lord who has made you his own and has put his spirit into you. I want you to live confidently and faithfully. That's where Paul goes in Romans 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, actually. Do these sound familiar? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. And this one from chapter 15 is personally meaningful to me. Live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess we may as well finish with something from chapter 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. For while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.